Shalom and welcome to On the House, the podcast where industry experts and professionals discuss real estate in Israel. I'm your host, Debbie Goldfischer, real estate agent, founder and editor-in-chief of buyitinisrael.com. Join us as we explore market trends, legal and tax issues, purchasing tips, neighborhoods throughout Israel, and much more. All this is On the House, helping you make the right move. Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of On the House. Today, we are excited to bring you the second episode of our fifth season, which is dedicated to purchasing pre-owned homes in Israel. Last week, we discussed the legal aspects of buying a home with advocate Jane Ullman, and today, we'll focus on another crucial dimension, understanding the rights, permits, zoning regulations, and property potential before making a purchase. By engaging with a professional architect early in the process, buyers can make well-informed decisions, maximize their property's potential, and turn their visions into reality. To guide us through this important topic, I'm thrilled to introduce an architect who is an expert in these matters. Finding a skilled, experienced architect in Israel who speaks fluent English is not always easy. However, I'm delighted to say that we have such a guest today, someone who speaks excellent English and knows how to skillfully navigate the bureaucratic and administrative landscape here in Israel. Joining us is Sippy Bluth, a Jerusalem-born architect with over two decades of experience. Sippy specializes in private homes, large-scale renovations, community centers, and urban planning. Her work reflects a deep passion for enhancing spaces to enrich people's lives, covering projects that range from kitchen and bathroom renovations to complex developments throughout Jerusalem and beyond. Sippy's extensive experience spans every phase of architectural projects, from initial assessment to final execution, allowing her to expertly navigate zoning regulations, maximize property potential, and align designs with local cultural contexts. Her expertise is invaluable for buyers seeking to make informed and strategic property investments. And with that, Sippy, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Sippy, before we talk about the topic at hand, tell us a little bit about your office and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
It varies a lot. Every day is very different. It depends on the clients. It depends on the projects. But I have projects that span from small renovations of changing and updating a kitchen or making accessible to clients that are getting older or need accessibility. A lot of the things happened during the war, so a lot of younger couples are also much more aware of that. So that's something that I've been dealing a lot with lately.
Adapting homes for
people injured. That need accessibility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've also been doing shuls, and I've been working a lot inside the community with schools and other local initiatives of the neighborhood and other people that are interested in making their environment a better environment for their kids and for everybody else.
Fascinating. So, fascinating. I love it that every day is different. That's really exciting. So as I said, the topic for us today is buyers who are looking to buy a pre-owned home. And I know as an agent, very often people find a home, they're very excited about it, but they want to make sure that this is going to align with their needs and their expectations. And I myself and their lawyers and many people will recommend that they bring somebody in to make sure that the property will work for them. So before they even bring you in, Sippy, what would you say are the key structural and design factors the buyers should be considering when they evaluate the potential property?
Well, obviously, the first thing that any client needs to know is what they need inside the apartment, how big it is, how many bedrooms, what is the size of their current family, and what are their expectations in the next few years to be, and plan accordingly, because it takes time to purchase a home or renovate it to your needs. Mm-hmm. So you need to not only think about what you need today, but you also need to think about what you need in the near future and also the further future, and if those needs are going to meet what you have. From my experience, people that are coming from abroad and coming to Israel, the expectations are very different. The way of life here is very different. A lot of people coming from private-owned homes and going into apartments, mm-hmm. it makes a difference. I think it's very important for people that are used to living in a different way to pay attention to the neighborhood, to what goes on around it. Is it green? Is it very urban? What floor you're on, especially for Shabbat, if you have to walk upstairs, how many stairs you need to walk, if there is an elevator for Shabbat or not. These might be small things, but it makes a very big impact on how you live and the convenience that you want to keep within the home. How many directions of air and light you get. Do you want to have a garden? Do you not want to have a garden? Do you want to have a porch? Do you entertain a lot? All these things are very important to see within the apartment.
Excellent. And beyond the individual buyer's preferences, when we look at a property, just independently, without bringing in a professional, what should they be looking at? We spoke about the layout, the size, the flow. What about light, for example, and you know, natural light, plumbing, electrical, that sort of thing?
Well, a lot of things you can't see because they're within the walls. And I would recommend bringing somebody to check over the apartment and looking through everything. But definitely in terms of the light directions, are we talking about north, south, east? You have to remember Israel is a very warm country. Mm-hmm. So having a south exposure can be very hot in the summer and very pleasant in the winter. So if you're coming to see it, you have to know which season you're coming at to see and understand what the implications will be when it's the winter or the summer or vice versa when you come to see the apartment. As much as possible to get as many air directions or light directions would be the best for a really good feeling in the apartment. But again, if you're going for a ground floor apartment which has a garden, a lot of times it's very dark because it's the bottom floor, there's a lot of trees around it, there's other things, but it has its advantages. So you really should pay attention to those.
So for somebody who's considering a renovation, they like the apartment, they like the layout, or they like the size, the location works, but they want to make changes to this apartment. They want to bring a professional in, like yourself. What specific evaluations do you conduct to assess the property's suitability? And how do you perform these assessments?
So it's very important to check if the apartment or the house has a building permit. Not all builds actually have a final building permit, and it's very important to pay attention and also to pay attention to what the building rights are in the apartment. Different places have different building rights. Even new builds that were recently constructed don't always use all the building rights that they could have. Mm-hmm. It's very important to see if there are any building violations. Can they be legalized? What needs to be done to legalize them? And the different possibilities and the potential of the apartment or house that they're buying. And that will all come into the decision of if that's the perfect apartment for you to purchase or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we spoke about looking into the building permits. We look at the zoning regulations to see, you know, what can be built. I know I live in Modi'in, for example, there's very, very strict zoning regulations, very hard to just come along and change the structure of the house from the outside. And there are neighborhood guidelines as well. In Modi'in, for example, different neighborhoods have different guidelines. So this is something that you as the architect look into.
Correct. There's urban building plans of different cities. Even sometimes on different streets, you'll have different plans. Mm-hmm. The urban building plan basically talks about what you can do there. And there are places where it's very, very open that you can do almost anything you want. And there are places that will even tell you what color the stone needs to be or the roof.
That's Modi'in.
Yes.
Where would you say is very lax, less strict?
A lot of the yeshuvim in Binyamin and in Shomron have guidelines, but really there are settlements that like that everything looks the same. Mm-hmm. And there are settlements that like that it's very different. I think it really says a lot about the people that live there.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. There are places where everybody goes to the same kind of schools, have same kind of professions, are very much
homogenous.
Homogenous. And there are places where are much less. And I think it really reads into the homes also that they build and they live in. Jerusalem, for instance, you'll find both though. Mm-hmm. Because there are very strict guidelines in Jerusalem. You have to build with stone. There's a lot of preservation homes that have very specific guidelines of what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you have the modern Jerusalem. And there's also a balance in between. You have neighborhoods that you'll have preservation homes within a very modern area. For example, Moshava Germanit or mm-hmm. the Moshava Yevanit and all the new builds that you have around Talpiot. Talpiot was once not part of Jerusalem, and now it is. So it has the restrictions of Jerusalem, but you still can find houses there that have
character of the old
exactly
Arab
like the Shai Agnon house that used to be there, like, and it reflects also the era that it was built in, which was a very war zone kind of. So you have those little windows that he has in the, but right next to it, you'll see a building that is like right now. Actually, they're building a very brand new building, and it's very interesting to have that combination of everything together.
Very interesting. I love that. Okay. So how long does it typically take to complete a property assessment and the investigations?
So that doesn't usually take very long. And it also doesn't cost a lot, which is something that I would really recommend. There are companies that specify in that. There are architects that can take you through the whole process with other people. But it's very important to take somebody on and check everything. We're talking about an investment of 2,500, maybe 3,000 shekel.
Mm-hmm. When you're spending millions of shekels
exactly,
on the purchase, you
want
to make sure it's right and then you can do what you want.
Exactly. And they go through the municipality and check what the rights are. There are even little things like a property on a corner street can have multiple rights that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Every apartment is very different than the other. And it's really important to have somebody that really knows what they're doing to go through everything and make sure that, first of all, everything is legal. What isn't legal can be legalized. And what is the potential that you can grow?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talk about Tama 38, which is also something that happens a lot. Basically, a national plan guideline that specifically is for reinforcing existing buildings for the event of a major earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows you to, A, put in a reinforced room and also expand the house more than the regular building rights would have allowed you to.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to have more and more buildings that will be protected for an event like that. So they wanted to make it, I mean, people won't just spend money just to have their building reinforced. They want to get something out of it because it costs a lot of money.
Sure.
And the country doesn't want to put the money into it. So they kind of give you a present to do it
on your own.
On your own.
Sort of.
It depends where and how and if it can be done. But basically, you can get an extra 25 square meters for your apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And that already makes it a big difference.
Right. But it's not usually something that somebody would, an individual owner would do on his own. It's got to be done through the building has to be done as a whole, and usually an outside developer comes in and oversees the project.
But I have had projects that were done by the homeowners.
Interesting. Yeah. I never heard of that. That's really
Absolutely.
Interesting. So going back to your investigations, you check the building rights and you help the buyer understand if this could work or not for him. Very often the building rights don't allow him to make the changes he wants. So what would happen in a case like that?
If he knows this in advance before he bought the apartment, then he'll have to reassess if this is the right apartment for whoever wants to buy it.
But are you able to check and see if it's possible to apply for a change in the TABA, in the city plans, to see if it would be possible, obviously nothing's definite, to get rights?
Absolutely. Every building can also put in a request for, it's called a Shinui TABA Mekumi.
TABA is Tochnit Binyan Ir.
Tochnit Binyan Ir is the urban plan, building plan that basically has all the guidelines and restrictions that you're allowed to do. And you can make changes in the TABA. It can be the building line to change where it goes. It can be adding building rights. It can be also reorganizing the different apartments based on the changes that have been done throughout the years,
mm-hmm.
and just to legalize everything.
But how does one know before they make the purchase that such a request would be granted?
You don't always know. In this case, you don't always know. You can go to the municipality and sit down with them and say, listen, this is what we want to do. What are the chances that it would be supported by the municipality?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they would come with answers that would give you a basic idea of what is allowed and what isn't allowed.
I see. But in general, when you're making the purchase based on that, there's an element of risk.
Absolutely. And I would say more than that. A shinui taba, not like a permit. A permit takes a minimum of a year, basically, to get. A shinui taba takes 3 years, more or less, to get. And then you have to put in a permit.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a while. So if this is something that you need immediately, then it's probably not the right apartment for you.
And how important is it to collaborate with a local architect who understands the area? Is this something that any architect around the country can do, or do you recommend working with a local architect?
So there are different kinds of architects. There are architects who focus on interior design. There are architects who focus on new builds.
Mm-hmm.
And there are architects who really have a lot of experience with building permits and renovations that need permits. Not every interior renovation needs a permit. You can do interior work without having a permit. But anything that touches the exterior, with it being windows or any changes or additions to the existing apartment, that needs a permit. And obviously, different municipalities work very differently. Jerusalem is very different than Tel Aviv. Efrat is very different than Alon. There's different places that work differently. Also, the amount of time that you need to do it, even though they're trying to make all the... There's a procedure that's being done now in the country that all the permits should be more or less by the same guidelines. It's going through a process of, with the technology being better and everything, it's all going through a very...
uniform sort of procedure.
Yeah.
So that would be very helpful. But if I've understood correctly, it makes sense to work with somebody who's local or who works in this municipality.
Right, because a local architect with the experience will also know where they can push the envelope a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and what will fly and what won't fly with the municipality when you want to make any changes. A lot of times also the name of the architect will just open the doors.
Absolutely. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
So am I correct to say that if you plan to do renovations and you have an architect who's an interior designer and you know you want to work with him or her, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the professional that you should be hiring at this stage. You want somebody who is an expert, as you said, in the external changes and the architectural planning and procedures, not necessarily somebody who's an interior designer / architect.
So the way I learned architecture is very from start to end.
Mm-hmm.
I do the permits, I do the assessment in the beginning, and I go all the way to the interior designing and choosing the colors and the different handles and everything
Fantastic.
Else.
Fantastic. The full package.
Absolutely.
But not every interior designer in Israel is an architect.
Most interior designers are not architects.
Correct.
Most interior designers they don't need legally to have any
qualifications
to be an interior designer. You can hire mm-hmm. anybody to be your interior
so
designer.
So very, very important that this inspection is done by a qualified architect.
There are qualified architects and there are qualified companies that have a short-term qualification, which
okay.
is not as long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a technician. So it's like an architectural technician or an engineering technician, and they have the certifications to do all the checking and also sign on a document that you need.
Uh-huh. So that would be somebody who they could work with.
Absolutely.
At this stage. Okay. Now, what if somebody likes the property and they don't intend to make any immediate changes? Is there still value in bringing in an architect? Are there any specific insights or advantages that your expertise would offer?
Again, if I would be buying an apartment or a house, I would like to know what the legal status of it is.
Obviously, well, they're hiring a lawyer for that.
That's true.
And they're bringing in a shamai. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be meeting a shamai about the value and the permits. And we're also meeting with an engineer who's looking at it from a structural standpoint. So is there any value in bringing in an architect if they don't want to make the changes?
There's always good to hear new ideas and the potential of the apartment. Is it absolutely necessary to have a design point of view or an architect to come see it? No, it's not 100% necessary. But I think it has also a lot of value to reinforce your feeling about the apartment.
I agree 100%. I think almost every buyer who buys a home makes some changes. Nobody's home is going to work perfectly for the next person.
There's another issue that might be important, which is bringing the things up to code. What was true for a build that was built 50, 60 years ago is not the code that you build in today. So it's very important to maybe look at things. If there are stairs in the apartment, if there are balconies in the apartment, the height of the windows, things like that that are very important. So a professional can come and say, this is something you should pay attention mm-hmm. to, especially if you have younger kids or people that need accessibility and things like that. So it's important to pay attention mm-hmm. to these things.
Okay. So we've touched on the neighborhoods. You mentioned that some neighborhoods have different regulations and different rules. How do factors like a neighborhood's architectural style or the community development plans influence home buying decisions?
Personal preferences make a big factor in decision of where you want to live and how you want to. There's a big thing about a feel of the neighborhood. Also, looking around is very important when you are buying an apartment, to look at your neighbors, to see what they've done, mm-hmm. even if you don't want to do anything, but to see where the neighborhood is going or what it will look like in a few years. Mm-hmm. There are very specific places in Israel that everything looks the same, but mostly what I see is the variations.
Are there any current architectural trends or features that significantly impact a home's resale value? And I'm thinking specifically the Mamad today. Mm-hmm. There are many, many homes in Israel that don't have a secure room. How does that impact value? And what are you seeing in your field?
So I would say that in the last few years, there are two things that really made a difference on how people view their apartments. One of them was the corona, and one is the war. Uh-huh. So the corona made a big difference in people really wanting to have some outdoor space. If it's in the building or a big porch or a nice garden or just having playgrounds or open space around the building, mm-hmm. which was really important factor for people choosing where they want to live.
What about home office, working from
Absolutely.
Home?
Absolutely. There's been a major shift in that. Mm-hmm. People in general have been working a lot more from home. There are a lot more fields today that you can work from home and come into an office once in, or there's a lot more professions that you don't need to have at all mm-hmm. an office outside of your home.
Something that I noticed is there are a lot of apartments that have 3.5 or 4.5 or 5.5 rooms, and people say, what's this half room? Mm-hmm. And the half room, correct me if it's not large enough to be defined officially as a room.
Correct.
It's a small room. Sometimes it has a window, sometimes it doesn't have a window. But it's great for home office. You don't need a whole big room for a desk and a chair and a bookcase. So it's a great half room.
Absolutely. I'll say more than that. A lot of people can find these extra spaces within their homes for a lot of different things. It also depends on how the family functions. Mm-hmm. For instance, with today's technology, parents don't want their kids to have their computers and telephones inside the rooms. The rooms are getting smaller, mm-hmm. so they have like an open space outside of the rooms. It can be next to a kitchen. It can be next to the living room. It can be between mm-hmm. all the bedrooms.
So you can see what the kids are up to.
So you can see them doing their homework and what they're watching and everything else, but still they have their space, mm-hmm. which is really important.
Right. So going back to our discussion about bringing someone in when you want to buy a home, this really makes sense that somebody with a good eye, because it's a professional eye, can look at a space and say, you know, if someone's looking for where will I work from home or how will the kids function after school, you'll see that. And the buyer may not be able to see with his own eye where that little workspace would be, but you would find it.
Absolutely. There are a lot of special needs today. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about accessibility for people that have been injured or older people, but also we're talking about even learning disabilities, kids with ADHD, which is a lot more common.
Sure.
So how this apartment can work with kids with special needs, it's very important. And architects and designers that have a tendency or knowledge in that issue can be very resourceful in how to adapt an apartment or a home to the needs of the family.
So important. Thank you. Yeah. So somebody has brought you in, you've done the inspection, and you've ascertained that this could work for them. And they decide to move to contract, they sign a contract, but they're not taking possession for another 8, 10, 12 months. We spoke last week with a lawyer about this. At what point can you come along and start to apply for permits and make changes? On the one hand, they've bought the property. On the other hand, they're not living there.
That's ideal for if you're wanting to put in a permit, because permit takes time.
Right. But at what point can you do this?
Immediately. From the minute that they sign the contract, they can start applying for a permit. And they should do so, because that will give them the opportunity until they actually have possession to come already with a permit or plans in hand of the renovation or whatever it is that they want to do in the apartment. And once they get the keys, as they say, to the apartment, they can already be on the go and not then only start to think about what they want to do and how to do it.
Excellent. Right. So two things that I'm thinking about. As I said, I live in Modi'in. I've mentioned this many times on the podcast. So a lot of people have a mahsan, a storage area that's built into the house, and they want to convert this into a room, whether it be a bedroom or a clinic, a therapy room. Is this something that you can help them with? What's involved in doing this?
Again, this has to be checked locally if it's allowed or not allowed. Turning a mahsan or even a driveway into a home office of such is changing something in the permit, the existing permit in the house.
So even though you're buying the house with a mahsan, with a storage area, don't assume that you can just convert it into what you want it to be. It's defined to be a storage room.
Correct.
Until it's legally changed.
Correct. It doesn't mean that people don't do it, especially with storage rooms that are part of the apartment. There are staircases going down to the storage room within the apartment. And then it's really important to understand the implications of doing that. Then this the architect can tell you. I mean, you can do a lot of things that you want to do. And within your private home, you think you can do everything. But you should know that there are implications in terms of the legal stance of the area. I would say, though, one more thing in this issue. The municipality knows once they give a permit to a house that has a storage room within the apartment, they know that it might turn into something different.
Mm-hmm.
So there are municipalities that have changed the laws of what you can do and what you can't, or you're not allowed to have a mahsan, a storage room within the apartment. You have to go outside of the apartment to go and get to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that what the thinking of the municipality is not how to make your life more difficult. It's because when the city is built, the different services that the city provides, for instance, parking, schools, kindergartens, shopping centers, they're all calculated according to the size of the community that is supposed to be there. So once they have apartments that are starting to grow into apartments that are a lot larger than what they were planned to be,
mm-hmm.
because they're using storage rooms for bedrooms and turning storage rooms into home offices, it changes the services that the municipality needs to provide. So they're not mm-hmm. doing it because they want to be terrible to you, but because they would like to provide the community with the services that they need.
Interesting. So I know in Modi'in, for example, many homes have basements. They will not allow an outside entrance from the basement into the basement. And they're afraid of people renting them out as what we call a yichidat dior, like a little granny flat, an apartment. Nachon. And that brings another family.
It brings in another family, which means that you need more parking on the street, which means that you need more schools in the neighborhood. And it's not factored in. And that's mm-hmm. why.
And you multiply that by many, many people doing the same.
Exactly.
You end up with a problem. That makes a lot of sense. Tell me something. If a neighbor has received a permit, does that mean that you could receive it too? Can we make that assumption? No.
No. First of all, things change. Second of all, again, you should do the checkup of your specific apartment.
It's interesting. I often see agents taking their clients to see apartments, and they say the neighbor next door, he got a permit to enclose the balcony, or he got a permit to build another room into the garden. So you'll be able to get it too. So that's very wrong.
It's very wrong, and it really annoys me that they do that. It can show potential. And a lot of times you will be able to do exactly the same.
But don't assume it.
But don't assume it.
Right.
Absolutely do not.
Right. Another question that's come to mind as we're talking. Sometimes you'll go into an apartment, an agent will take you in, they'll show you this beautiful apartment, and then they'll say, this area, it's not legal, but you can easily convert it. You can make it legal. So they like the apartment and they want it and they want this change. You come along and look at it. What do you do? How do you help them to figure out if this can be legal or not?
So again, that's the pre-checking that we do. Also, a lawyer can be very helpful with this. If they turned a basement, which is not supposed to be living area, into living area, you have to see if there are building rights that are left over and can it be legalized. It's part of the pre-checking that we would probably do in any apartment, but specifically when you have areas that you know in advance they have violations, then it's very important to see what are the different possibilities. There are also different possibilities to legalize it. You can put in a permit to change the building rights or add building rights and change it from being a basement to being another floor of the apartment. There are also other ways to legalize, like turn it back into a basement. That would be the other extreme.
Right.
Also, we talked about a shinui taba to change the zoning that you can do for that specific apartment so that you can use a basement as living space.
Mm-hmm.
All these things can be done.
All possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Tippi, when you do your investigations, you provide a report to the buyer. Do you include the costs of making these changes, of getting these permits? Because at the end of the day, it's all budgetary. They want to know not only how much will the house cost, but how much will it cost to make it what I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you include in your report?
Absolutely.
Can you give us an idea of what it would cost to change a taba and to get permits?
It depends on the municipality and depends on who's doing it. For instance, in Jerusalem, you really need a professional to put in a permit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few companies that are expert companies in this thing. I don't even put in the permit in Jerusalem anymore.
I see.
Because it's so important to be there on a daily basis to move things along because it can take a long time.
Mm-hmm. If you do an inspection or an investigation for a client and then they decide to move forward, you would bring somebody else in to take care of the permit?
I would work together with a few companies that I work with and do the permit there. But for instance, if you do it in Gush Etzion, or Efrat, or in Male Adumim, Alon, all the Yishuvim of the Binyamin,
mm-hmm.
the Moetza there. There's currently also, I have a project in Mevaseret. All these are different municipalities and they work differently.
Got it.
And there are nuances, but there are still very important nuances that
sure.
you need to do. And over there, I would take care of the permit on my own, not through a company.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is where the expertise of a local architect comes in.
Absolutely. And we've spoken many times on this podcast about building a team. It's all about bringing in the right people and building trust with the right members. And we also have to remember, this is going a little bit off topic. We mentioned a few weeks ago with a lawyer by the name of Josh Portman, we spoke about Hetel Hashbacha, which is a tax that has to be paid when you add to the building rights of your property.
It's not adding to the building rights, it's adding value.
Adding value.
It can
Thank
be
you.
Either by building rights or other things.
Right, and we have to remember, this is a very important factor, that when you make the changes, you're not just paying for the getting the permits or for the change in the taba or for the actual structural changes, you also have to include the tax.
Correct.
But that's not for this conversation, but very important. Okay, so I think we've covered everything we wanted to talk about on
Excellent.
this episode. It's been super helpful. And I think it's very clear that before making a purchase, it is a very wise investment to bring in an architect who can really help you and ascertain that it's the right property for you. So before we end, Tippi, I'd like to know, where in Israel do you live and why did you choose it?
I was born and raised in Jerusalem. Yeah, so I still live there. My parents actually moved when I was in high school. They moved out to the Shomron, to a yeshuv called Neve Tzuf.
Beautiful.
And I came back to Jerusalem.
Which part are you in?
I was born and raised in Talpiot, and I live now in Talpiot again.
Really?
Yes. So it's very, very, I love it. It's going down the streets that I was growing up on, and my neighbors are some people that I knew as a child.
How lovely.
And their kids are living in the neighborhood now, and it's really, I'm loving it.
Amazing. And Talpiot is going to go through tremendous change.
Yeah, tremendous change.
We write about it a lot on the website. Tell us a little bit about what it's going through and what the future looks like in Talpiot.
I really don't know where it's going to, but I know that there are a lot more new builds all the time. And it's changing a bit the community, but I think in a good way. I think that the versatility of Talpiot is only getting more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, the light rail is going to change that as well.
The light rail doesn't go through Talpiot. It goes on Derech Hebron.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a difference. It's like we're not on, but it will add a lot of value to have the light rail.
It's not far. It's nearby.
Absolutely not far. And we have a lot of bus routes that will feed into it. I think the municipality is also making a point of not allowing as many cars and making much more public transport improvements.
I think that's all over the country.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have enough room for all these cars.
Correct. And also, I think it's like, I see a lot more people walking. There are walking groups. There are running groups in Talpiot.
I love that.
All these things are like amazing. And I think it's part of that change as well.
Beautiful. That's great. And finally, Sippy, if you were to move, where would you go and why?
Oh my God. I would say something. It's actually a thought that I just yesterday spoke to a friend of mine. It'll be very hard for me to leave Jerusalem. Again, born and raised there and leaving everything that Jerusalem stands for is a big move.
I'm sure.
But my parents have done it. So I'm inspired by them. And maybe once everything calms down in this country, and maybe when my kids are a little bit older, not by much, I'm not talking about 5 years from now, maybe going up north or going down south and having a new community to rebuild will be something that is very meaningful to me.
Be'ezrat Hashem, we hope, we pray that day will come very, very soon where every part of this country will be safe and protected.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Sippy. We really, really appreciate your time, your insights, and sharing your information with us.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. We'll be back next week. Shalom aleichem. Thank you for listening to On the House. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and share it with your family and friends. You can also visit buyitinisrael.com, where you can find news, market updates, guidance, and much more on real estate in Israel. That's buyitinisrael.com. BUYIT in Israel.com. If you have a question or a specific topic you'd like us to cover on this podcast, please email us at the address you'll find at the bottom of the show notes. Whether you're thinking about Aliyah, looking for a home or a haven, or wanting to support the Israeli economy, now is the time to buy it in Israel.